Life. There we go. Well, good morning again. Welcome today, everyone. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful, beautiful prelude today. Let's give the Lord another praise for the talent that he's given to Sherry today. Amen. Well, we are looking at a packed house this morning, and that is a wonderful experience. So thank you all that are here. Some of you are vacationing with mom and dad, maybe grandma and grandpa. And I've seen a lot of little ones, and we love little ones around here, don't we? They just make the day. And so we're delighted that everybody's here. And as we close out another year, this is our last Sunday for this year. And it's hard for me to believe how quickly time has gone by. It just seems like we were starting the year, and here we are at the end of it. And I want to remind us that we have so very, very much to be grateful for. God's been good to us. Hasn't always been easy, but God's been good. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his faithful love endures forever. Your love this morning, you are loved by Almighty God. His love endures forever. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies, undeserved favor, they never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Let's hope in him as we close out this year. And then one more, Psalm 103, verse 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me. I'm going to encourage you and invite you today to join me, and let's offer our highest praise of worship as we sing and as we magnify the Lord together on this last Sunday. For he truly is good. He truly loves us. His blessings are abundant. And even in the hard times, he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the blessing of today. Thank you that you've gathered all of us together. Here we are. Not by accident, but by your plan, by your choice, by your purpose. And Father, I pray that as we spend this next hour together, that the blessing of the Lord would just befall each and every one of us. Open our hearts that we might praise you and honor you and worship you. God, we need you today. We need more of you. And so we pray that you'll just fill our lives with your goodness, with your blessing and mercy. And all of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make sure you announce two services for next week, because somebody said that the bulletin that Nettles Island puts out only has this for one service next week.
Okay. Amen. How about that? There we go. All right. Well, I'm excited to sing this morning with this big group we have this morning. I hope you are. We're going to start off with "All Worship the King, All Glorious Above," and gratefully sing his wonderful love.
Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with rays, and all tell of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space is chariots. Deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. And all hail to the King and splendor and throne, glad praises we bring, thy glorious. Our victory will win. Amen.
Let's sing, Lord, lift, I lift your name on high. Sing with me this morning.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to Christ, to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I love to sing your praises. And aren't you glad he's in your life? I'm so glad he came to save us. From heaven to earth to show the way, and from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, we lift your name on high.
Amen. Now sing with me. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. This song again. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, my heart sings this song again. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Amen. Great singing this morning. We are blessed with a special this morning by Sherry. Enjoy as she sings this morning.
There lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang. Hallelujah, hear it ring. And the sky was bright with God's holy light. It was the birthday of the King. It was a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path was led, what a perfect holy way. Hallelujah, oh how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with God's holy light. It was the birthday of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how the angels sang. Hallelujah. How it rang. And the sky was bright with God's holy light. It was the birthday of the King. It was the birthday of the King.
All right, sometimes you just have days like that. Every time I walk past this thing, it lets me know it doesn't like me very well. All right, Sherry, beautiful, beautiful song. And ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry for the technical difficulties. We are trying to work those out, and hopefully we'll get that handled this morning. I want to take a moment just to welcome any of you that are with us today for the very, very first time. You've never been to Nettles before. To church, I mean at Nettles, and this is your very, very first time to worship with us. We are so delighted that you're here, and we welcome you today. And we have a little promise book that looks just like this one that I'm holding in my hand, and that will be available to you. I would love to present that to you personally, and at the end of the service, I will be in the back right corner at the information desk back over here. And if you'll just walk by, stop by, shake my hand, give me a fist bump, whatever you feel like doing. And I'd love to present one of these to your family and introduce myself personally and personally welcome you for joining us today. Also, I want to welcome all of you that are back. It's just obviously the house is full, and I'm looking around, and I think everybody has a seat. That's a good thing. I was going to just ask for people to raise a hand if there's a blank or an empty seat nearby, but I think we're good. And Don't forget, a couple of things. I understand we ran out of bulletins this morning, so sorry for that. But let me give you a couple of highlights today. Two services begin next Sunday morning. If you get here at 9 o'clock, you're going to have missed the whole first half of the first service. We're going to lock you to your chair and keep you for the second service. No, I'm just kidding. But 8:30 and 10 o'clock, the banner will be changed next week. One problem we found is that in the bulletin that the Nettles Island puts out that you pick up downstairs, it does not have the change as of today. Okay, as of today, it's not changed. So if next week when you get that bulletin, if it says 9, remember what I'm telling you. It starts 8:30 and 10 o'clock next week. You get to pick your service. Also, coming up next week, January the 5th, we're going to start a week of prayer. And there'll be an insert in the bulletin. We're going to capitalize on that very first week of the year and really get down to business and pray for our America and for our world around us. And then I just want to highlight a couple other things, especially since some of you don't have the bulletins. There's a sign-up table that's right by the back exit doors where the stairs and the elevator are. And we have several things that are on there. We've got a place for volunteers. We're still looking for volunteers to help us in ministry aspects during the service, whether we're talking about greeters or ushers, elevator attendants, whatever it might be. There's some sign-up sheets for that in the back. Also, very, very important, the winter Bible study that's meeting on Wednesday, we're going to be studying Colossians. And if you've already signed up, you'll see a brand new sign-up, brand new sheet of paper. You don't need to re-sign up. But for those of you that have not yet, or maybe you've just gotten here, you want to be part of that Bible study, I want to encourage you to do that. We have such a great time studying the Word together and just learning and growing in our faith. And Colossians will be our study. It starts January the 15th, but we've got to get the books ordered for you. And so please, today is very important. If you could just put it in your mind, and I'll try to remind you at the end of the service, on the way out, if you go out a different door, swing by there, get your name on the list for the Bible study. Also, you may know friends that are not here yet, and you know they want to be in the Bible study. There's a separate sheet right next to it that says that it's for them. If you know of someone that you think would want to be in the Bible study, print their name and their phone number so we can contact them and make sure. And we want to get them signed up. We don't want to leave anybody out. So Bible study and other sign-ups, lots of good things. Also, the off-island attenders, those of you that don't live on Nettles, we're working very diligently to create a pass so that when you come through the gate, you can just slide right on through like the folks that live here. And we're working with security and that team. And so Bill Cates is doing a fine job making that work. And we just need to continue to get you to sign up. Put your name, print it please, and phone number. And let's see if there's anything else. I think everything else. The church directory, if you're not in that directory, we want you to get in there. Just see Tammy and she'll work something out. We're going to set up another picture day and we're going to get some things worked out. If you look at the directory, if you need help getting set up for the directory, Tammy is your person right up front here to talk to, and she can make sure that that happens for you. But I think we made it through all the announcements today. Aren't you glad to be in church today? Aren't you glad to know Jesus? To know that He loves you? To be able to love Him back as a believer and know that He's done so much for us? We're going to continue to worship today as Steve leads us in a couple more courses. Just continue to bless the Lord. He's so worthy. He deserves our praise today. Amen. God bless you.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper than word, than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. 'Cause you search much deeper within. Through the things appear to my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've done, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. 'Cause you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this heart, all full of shame, became whole. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Would you stand with us as we sing that chorus one more time? And just open your heart up and worship him this morning. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Sing, I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Sing that chorus one more time, just the voices. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you,
Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, oh, there is none like you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go to prayer this morning. Got some heavy needs that have come in this week. We've added to the prayer list. They're highlighted in bold. And this morning, Yvonne is in the hospital, and they're running tests. There are all kinds of complications up in Vero. She lives in Vero. We want to remember her today. We want to remember and pray for the Wilson-Albrecht family. Wilson's grandson's wife suddenly passed away on Christmas Eve, 23 years old. She passed away. She had a little baby just a couple of months old. It was a tough week for them. We want to remember the Wellbaum family down below in Eternally Home. We were praying for Jack, and God took him home. Praying for Joyce Vanderklok with some physical issues. And Teal Leckie, young man that was out west, I'm not sure, I think Colorado, but not sure. He was skiing or snowboarding and had an accident and hit his head, and it looked really, really bad, and prayers went up, and God began to do a work in him, and they thought they were going to have to do surgery, and then that second thought, they determined they didn't need to do surgery, that his injuries were not going to be as complicated as they thought, and he's home. Of course, we have all the other names on this list that we're praying for. I'm so thankful today that we serve a God who answers prayer. He's more than enough. He's the great I am, the Alpha. It means the beginning, the Omega, the ending. He starts the story and he brings the end to it. He's with us all the way through, all the burdens, all the trials, all the difficulties. And then I wonder this morning with you, how many of you by the upraising of a hand would say, Pastor, just include me in your prayer today. I've got a burden that I've come with today. I've got a need in my life all across this place. Hands up. Hands up everywhere. You know, being a Christian, serving Jesus is not for sissies. And then you hear those guys that say, if you give your heart to Jesus, everything just turns out great. You never have a rainy day or a bad day or a hardship or a trouble or a difficulty. They must not read the Bible. They must not understand that God works through trials and tribulations to perfect us and to make us. And God hasn't forgotten these folks, and he's not forgotten any of you this morning. He's right here in this house of worship, and he wants to put his arms around us. He wants to snuggle us in close, and he wants to tell us, to whisper into our ears, it's going to be okay. I've got this. Watch me work. Just let go and trust me. Trust me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, as Sherry sang this morning, celebrating again your wonderful birth, your coming into this world. We are so thankful to be in this week of Christmas to celebrate that, God, you loved us so much that you came and you put on skin. You gave of yourself. You grew up and you began to minister. And then you came to the place of the cross where you fulfilled your great purpose to be the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. But on your way to the cross, you took stripes upon your back. And the Bible says in Isaiah that by your stripes were healed. And then after the fact of the stripes and the cross and the death and the resurrection and the glorification and the return to heaven, Peter writes, by your stripes we were healed. It's already finished in heaven. We just have to reach out and receive it. So to speak, the money's in the bank. We just have to go draw it. We just have to draw from you your ministry, your blessing, your power into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that our faith would rise up this morning. For, Lord, it's faith that pleases you. You said if we ask anything in your name, in faith believing, it shall be done. So, Lord, we pray for Yvonne and for the Wilson-Albrecht family, for the Wellborn Baum family, for Joyce and for Thiel this morning. We pray for the names that are on this list as I look at them this morning, and for those that raised hands today in this sanctuary. God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, begin to pour into each and every need and every life. God, begin right now to give us relief. Let the burden be lifted. Let the joy of the Lord begin to swirl within our soul and our spirit. Let us begin to accept the Word of God over the seeing the condition of the circumstance. Lord, let us stand upon the Word today. For Lord, there's an answer for every need. God, you're a great God and a blessing God and a wonderful God. And you say that if we would call upon you, you would show us great and mighty things that we don't know. We haven't been able to see yet. So God, we're calling on you today. We're asking you to release the power of heaven into the lives of these your people. Father, be blessed today. Lord, when you heal us, when you fix us, when you provide for us, when you do for us, it's not just so we can have a better life. It's so that we can bring the glory and the honor and the praise and the majesty and the worship unto you, Lord. And we'll be careful to do that. We'll be careful to do that. We commit all of these to you. We thank you that you're a God that allows us to come boldly before your throne. And so today we give you thanks. We give you praise. We honor your name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you for praying with me this morning and joining your faith with mine today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's my bulletin. I think I covered everything. I was using a spare bulletin this morning on the announcements, and we're good. Well, amen. Amen. God's good. He's so good. He's so worthy. Somebody said all the time. We ought to all say that. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We're going to talk about that today. That doesn't mean that, as I said in the words leading into my prayer, that we don't ever go through hardships. That's life. If life was a utopia once we got saved, we wouldn't need heaven, would we? We wouldn't have anything to look forward to. But God's with us, never to leave us, never, ever to forsake us. If you have a Bible with you, or if you're using your phone app, or however that works for us in this electronic age, Philippians chapter 3 is our text this morning. As I was praying and thinking about this week and coming to the end of a year, I just felt just impressed on this passage of Scripture, and so I worked on it this week, and we're going to talk about finishing strong. It's my desire, my prayer, my hope, not just for me, not just for my family, but for all of you, all of us as the family of God here, that as we close out this year, we've only got a couple more days. And no matter what life was like the minute you walked through that door or came up the stairs, maybe it wasn't a strong day. Maybe you felt like this has been a tough, tough year, and I'm just so beat up, I'm so battered. I want you to know that in the next few days, starting right now, right today, we can make the decision with God's help. We can finish strong. Amen. Amen. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul writing says this. He says, brothers and sisters, Christians, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, bless your word and bless our hearts and open our hearts to the word today. Amen. Paul says, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And if you were to, if you have a Bible or if you have your app and you go back another verse or two, you're going to find that Paul was talking about this thing called perfection. Perfection. Probably not one of us who are here today in the hearing of my voice, when we stand in front of the mirror and we look in the mirror, we see the Christian, the man or the woman, the teenager, boy or girl, we look at that person and we go, man, I've just got so many miles to go to get where I need to be to make the Lord really happy with me. And we feel that way sometimes. Paul was writing this and he says, I consider myself not yet to have been made perfect. He still had struggles. He still battled temptations. Probably sometimes doubts and fears and worries. He was human like we are. And he says, I haven't gotten a hold of that. I haven't figured it out. And guess what? There's no figuring it out, because I'll tell you right now that we won't be perfect until the day that we step through the gates of heaven. When we are on our way up, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those that are alive, and we get our glorified bodies. So maybe before we get to the gate, we're going to be perfect going in through the gate. Paul, who writes this, who knew God personally, had met Christ personally, he says, I have not yet taken hold of it, but he doesn't give up and go, so let's go eat cake. No, he says, but there's one thing that I'm doing. I'm forgetting what is behind me, and I'm straining toward what is ahead. And folks, as we stand at the threshold of a new year, there is something profoundly powerful about looking back to where we have been, to taking a survey, to taking inventory on our lives and where we have been in this past year, and then not stopping there, but turning our focus toward what lies ahead. 2025 is just around the corner. The next time we meet, it will be the new year. For some of us, 2024 has been filled with victories and breakthroughs and blessings. And for others of us, it's been a season of struggle and disappointment and some loss and maybe even some missed opportunities and a few failures thrown into the mix. But regardless of where we stand today, the truth remains that God has been with you and with me every step of the way, and His plans for us are still unfolding. Understand this, God's not finished with us yet. The new year that's just around the corner comes with opportunity. It comes with a fresh start and a new chapter in the story that God is writing in our lives. And so this morning, let's embrace where we've been. And let's embrace where we're headed as an opportunity for growth and spiritual renewal and transformation in our lives. I don't want to be the same man that stands in front of you next year this time. I want there to be growth, spiritual renewal, and transformation in my life. I want to focus on that as I press toward the future that God has prepared for me and likewise for you. Today, I want to remind us that the end of the year is not the end of your journey with God. It's just turning the page. We're not meant to dwell in the past. We're called to press on and press forward with faith and hope and renewed sense of purpose. And whatever you've experienced in this past year, this year we're closing, God is calling you to finish strong and step boldly into the next season that He has for you. So in order to do this, there are two points that I want to make, or two principles that Paul offers us in this text that will encourage us to stay the course and finish strong. The first one is this. We need to embrace the process of growth. That's the first point. Growth's not always easy. You ever hear the term growing pains? Didn't they make a TV sitcom or show or syndicate about growing pains, right? Some of you tall folks I never had this problem, but some of you grew so fast, you had pains in your joints, in your knees, in your elbows, and your back hurt, and your spine hurt because you were growing so fast. You were having growing pains. Listen, there's pain sometimes when we grow, but we need to embrace the process of growth. The first thing Paul says is this. He says, "One thing I do." Now listen to me for a moment. Living a spiritually successful life that honors the Lord and keeps us in the race to win the prize of eternal life boils down to just one thing. Paul said it. There's just one thing. Now there are two parts. There's an A and a B to this one thing. Are you ready for this one thing? Paul says this. He says, let go of the past and focus on the finish line. A and B, just this one thing. Paul says, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I'm pressing on toward the goal. In a vast forest, there stood an ancient oak tree. Over the years, it had weathered many storms, endured scorching summers, and withstood the harshest of winters. Its trunk was thick and strong. Its branches spread wide, offering shade to those beneath it. But as time passed, the oak tree began to notice something. Its leaves were falling, its bark was aging, and the mighty branches that once stood tall were beginning to show signs of wear. In a particularly severe storm, strong winds howled through the forest, and many of the trees in that forest were uprooted. But the oak tree, though battered, it stood firm. It had grown strong not only because of its outward appearance, but because its roots went deep into the earth. The storm had tested it, but it had also strengthened it. As the storm passed and the sun returned, the oak tree found itself more resilient than before. It had learned to endure, to grow through adversity, and to trust the deep foundations it had built. In the coming seasons, it would continue to grow, shedding old leaves and embracing new life. That's just a little analogy for what we're talking about. You see, continuing to grow, shedding the old leaves, letting go of the past, letting go of what's behind, and embracing the future, the new life. Forgetting past is crucial to our life in Christ. There are Christians that never grow, never advance, never become more like Jesus because they're stuck. The enemy has blinded them to the ability to grow because they're stuck in the past. Something happened. Somebody hurt them. They did something to somebody else. They can't forgive themselves. And they live this life and look in the mirror and they wonder how God could even love them when the pastor says that God so loves the world and loves you and loves me. They go, I don't know if he really loves me. They think that. Forgetting the past is crucial. Paul challenges us here to forget what's behind us, to let go of our yesterdays, to let go of those things. Now listen to me. This doesn't mean that we erase the memories or that the memories just disappear, that we get foggy in that or we get amnesia in that. Some things we may remember all the days of our lives if they've been that traumatic. But what it means is that we choose not to let those past failures or mistakes or regrets define who we are in Christ. We let the Bible define who we are, that we are a child of the King, that we are beloved of the King, that for God so loved me and loved you that he gave his Son for us and he's with us today. And if God is for us, who can be against us? You see, we can look in the mirror and we can say, that's who I am. Or we can pick up our Bible and we can get into the Word of God and say, this is who I am because God says that about me. Just like the old oak tree that sheds and lets go of its old leaves in preparation for the new ones, for new growth, we're called to release the weight of the past. And some of us may feel burdened by the mistakes that we've made in our relationships that have been broken or disappointments and losses that we've experienced. But God offers us grace. God offers to heal our hearts, to mend our brokenness, to restore us, to redeem us. He redeemed our spirit, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he's at work today redeeming our soul, redeeming our lives, redeeming our bodies, for he loves us that much. God offers us grace to move forward. And just as the oak trees leaves fall away to make room for new ones. We've got to let go of the past and make room for the new things that God wants to do in 2025 in our lives. This new year is not just another day on the calendar. It's a divine opportunity for you and I to experience renewal. So trust God. Trust the process. There's purpose in the process. God's at work in your life, not just in the moments of triumph, but also in the moments of trial. And every high, every low, every tear, every victory are part of the journey that God is using to shape you and me and to make us into the person that He's called us to be. And our story's not over. God is still writing it. There was an old man who had two water buckets. Both were used to carry water from the well to his home. One of the buckets was perfect. It was smooth and solid. It didn't have a single crack in it. The other bucket, however, had a crack in its side. As the man carried it, water would leak out, and by the time the man reached his home, the bucket was always half empty. The perfect bucket boasted of its efficiency, while the cracked bucket, feeling defective, often apologized for its failure to deliver the full amount of water. It felt ashamed of its imperfections. One day, the man took a walk with the cracked bucket, and he said to the bucket, "Do you notice the flowers that are growing along the path?" The cracked bucket was puzzled and replied, "Yes. But I don't understand. I'm leaking water. I'm defective. What does that have to do with me?" The old man smiled and he said, "You've been leaking water along this path. Do you know what happened to those flowers? You've been watering them, nourishing them with the very water that you thought that you were losing. Without you, these flowers would not have grown. You've been fulfilling your purpose all along. Just as you are." Had a great little story. Oh, that really speaks to me this morning. Understand something this morning. God uses our imperfections for His glory. Did you hear me? God uses our imperfections. God uses the pain of our past for His glory. You might feel like that cracked bucket today. You look around and say, "Why can't I do like that person, that Christian? Look how they do, or look what they can do, or how they serve God, and they look like they're perfect." You just don't know that they have imperfections too. Maybe you look at yourself and you think, I'm just not enough. I've made too many mistakes. I've failed too many times. But let me remind you that God uses the broken, the imperfect, and the weak to accomplish His will. How do I know that? Because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul again writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this, "But he said to me," this is God speaking to Paul, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It's okay to have a bucket that has a crack in it. Just give all of that bucket and all of that crack to Jesus and watch what He'll do with it. Paul wasn't perfect. Paul was still not that I've already obtained perfection. Paul struggled like we do. Romans chapter 7 is a whole chapter about Paul screwing up and hating the fact that he screws up. But yet Paul knew the love of Jesus and knew that he could press in and God would take him and use him for His glory. And God wants to do the same with us. Maybe this year you felt like you were leaking, losing strength, losing joy, losing hope. But in reality, God is using the process, and there's a purpose in that process that God wants to use to nourish the lives of other people around you. Your story, your struggles, your victories, they're all part of God's larger plan. He uses our brokenness to water others and to bring beauty from ashes. So number one, embrace the process of growth. Don't resist it. Embrace it. The hard times will make us grow. if we keep our eyes on Jesus. The second principle that Paul gives us to help us stay the course and finish strong is to keep pressing on. Keep pressing toward the goal, he tells us in verse 14. And so, back to this one thing. Part B is, Paul says, to strain toward what is ahead. Now, this is not a passive just sitting at home and granddad's easy chair and pulling up, you know, the foot thing and leaning back in that, waiting for things to change. This isn't just saying, God, if you want to do something, you just do it. I'm going to sit here and watch my reruns of Gunsmoke. And if you want to use me, then just, you know, you make it happen. No. Paul says straining toward what is ahead. I've let go of my past. I might still remember it, but it doesn't control me anymore. It doesn't have a hold on my life anymore because it's behind me. It's my past, and God has taken me beyond that. And he says, and now I'm straining toward what's ahead. That's active pursuit of the future that God has for you and you and you and you and me. When we look ahead to the coming year, God calls us to push forward, to push, to strain toward what his purpose for our lives is. And this means stepping out in faith, even when the path ahead is unclear. It means trusting that God will provide the strength and the guidance and the hope and the peace and the joy and all that we need to face that day that's going to come on the morrow when we lay our head down on the pillow. Think of that oak tree once more. Its roots reach deep into the soil to find the water and the nourishment. And similarly, we are called to root ourselves deeply, to let our roots go deep into the Word of God and trust the promises of God and know and sense the presence of God. The deeper our roots, the stronger we become and are able to face whatever storms that life brings by. Do you believe that? The deeper our roots, the more we fellowship, the more we know the Word, the more we know the presence of God in our lives makes it better for us when the trials come our way. So I ask you this morning, what goals has God placed in your heart for the new year? What dreams has He planted into your spirit? And are you willing to press forward toward them even when the obstacles arise? And there will be some this new year. Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so as we approach the end of this year, it's time to ask ourselves, what does God have for me in this new year ahead? What does God have for me? As we launch into 2025, there's a new chapter that's unfolding, a new season of growth, a new season of opportunity. We have to move forward with intention. We have to move forward with intention. Paul said we've got to press on toward the goal. God has a purpose for you, my friends. One that extends beyond the mistakes and the limitations of yesterday and today and even whatever mistakes we may make tomorrow. The path forward may not always be clear, but God has already gone ahead. He's already there. He's with you. You see, God transcends time. We look at time and we go, well, time began with Adam and Eve and it's going to end with the, revelation and, you know, for us, the rapture and then people. No, God doesn't live in that boundary. He's not like we are. We're bound by time. We're fixed in time. God moves throughout history, beyond. And so God is with you, but He's already where He wants you to be. The path may not be clear, but God has already gone ahead of you. He's preparing the way, and the next season is full of promise, and it's full of potential. See it that way. And I want you to remember this morning that you're never disqualified because of your past. I don't care who you are or what you've done. You are qualified by God's grace, and He is faithful to finish the work that He started within you. So here it is, the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal. You ready? Here it is. To know Christ more deeply and to fulfill the unique calling that He's placed on our lives. And so as we go forward into 2025, we're to be reminded that the ultimate prize is not success, it's not wealth, it's not recognition, it's not all the things the world tells us it is and tries to get us to capture and chase after, but really the ultimate prize is a deeper relationship with Jesus. This new year is not about resolving for you and I to do better. Oh, I'm going to do better if it kills me. It probably will. It probably will, because you can't do it without the strength of the Holy Spirit within you. And He's going to do what He wants to do in us. It's about pressing forward toward the goal and becoming more like Jesus. Some of you know this little chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. My desire to be like Him all through life's journey. From earth to glory. My desire is to be like Him. As we close this message this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to lay down the burdens of the past year, whatever they are. Maybe there's some regrets. Maybe there are some mistakes. Maybe some disappointments, even fears about the future because of what you've experienced in the past. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to release you from the burdens and help you to move forward with freedom and with purpose. Perhaps you've been walking through life like a cracked bucket. You're feeling like you're not enough, or you've been losing what little you have to give. But I want you to know today that if you'll allow Him, this morning in this service, as we close in prayer, if you allow Him, God will use you just as you are to make an impact in the lives of those around you. He may not fix the crack in your bucket. He may not mend it. He may leave that there. You may continually leak water as you process through life. But you'll look back one day, if not on earth, in heaven, and God will show you, reveal to you, just the mighty things that He did. Paul says, when I'm weak, He's strong. He's strong. God uses us no matter where we are. There's just one thing, church. Remember this if you remember nothing else about the day besides the oak and the bucket. Remember this. There's just one thing. Part A is let go. Let go. Let go of the past. And part B is press on toward the goal, keeping our eyes on Jesus, growing in grace and in Him, keeping our eyes on eternity and the finish line. The way this world's going, it's not going to be long. Trumpet's going to sound. As Paul teaches us, dead in Christ will rise out of the cemeteries. Churches filled with people, if it happens on a Sunday, will all of a sudden become lighter than gravity, and off we'll go. It won't be long. Keep your eyes on eternity. Let's pray. Father, as we pray today, as we bow our hearts before You, as we think about the words of this message today, the words of Scripture, mostly what Paul says, not that I've already obtained it. God, how often we beat ourselves up because we're not perfect. God, we mess up left and right. God, I'm not making excuses for us. I'm not saying it's okay to keep messing up or keep living in a place of sin or separation from You. I'm not saying that. God, give us hearts that long for righteousness and holiness and purity. But even in that, in our humanity, because we live in a fallen world and there's temptation, there are going to be times that we fail. The test, the temptation may beat us once in a while. God, there'll be other times where the trials will come in and we'll feel beat down, we'll feel weary, we'll feel worn out, we'll feel like, God, where are You? But God, remind us to stay in the Word of God and to trust the words that You've spoken in that Word, to trust Your Word, to stand on the promises. Father, if there's one man or woman or teenager, boy or girl, that's in the hearing of My voice today that does not know Jesus, They've never offered their heart and said, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Come into my life. Today I want to live this day and that every day forward as your child. I want to come into your family. Forgive me and cleanse me. I bow before you. I receive you today as my Savior. I accept your gift of eternal life through the shedding of your blood at Calvary. And I bow my knee to you and make you Lord of my life. God, if somebody hasn't done that right now, in their own words, in their own way, as they pray and say, forgive me and be my Lord, reach into their life and draw them into the family right now. Forgive them and cleanse them and write their name in the book of life so that they have an eternity that's going to be wonderful in heaven. God, I pray for those that are here that are battling. We prayed earlier for need. Some of us today, we're ending this year and there's stress and there's struggle and there's strain and there's difficulty. It's not even yet in our past. We're still walking through it. Walk close with them. Put your arms around them in such a way that they know that they're going to make it. They're going to step into the new year. They're going to finish this year strong. Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. They'd been beaten badly and they'd been locked up. And in the midnight hour, when most people would be crying or complaining or cursing God, they said in their heart, I'm going to finish this night strong. And they began to worship. And the worship brought the praise and the went up and the power came down and the prison doors were opened. And God, you did a miracle that night. We need miracles. We pray for miracles as we end this year and as we enter the new. Lord, let us believe for bigger than we've ever believed for. Let us trust you completely. Let us put our faith in only one place, and that's in you, Father. Reminded that if you love us enough to save us, why would you abandon us after we're saved? Walk with us, heal us, deliver us, restore us, renew us. Fulfill your purpose in us today. The one thing is that we might know you more. God, may every heart that's in this room in the hearing of my voice make this their prayer as we go today, that I might know Christ, that I might know him more, might have greater fellowship, greater relationship, because I know more and more and more. So, Father, I thank you. Help us to finish this year, the next few hours and days, strong as we cross the finish line of 2024 and launch out into the deep of the new year to come. Thank you, Lord. Bless these ones as they go today. Keep us close, your hand upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand for closing song today? And we're going to sing together the Lord's Prayer. It covers everything. Covers everything. Sing it. Make it your heart's desire and your prayer today. God bless you. Don't forget the sign-ups. The sign-ups, especially the Bible study today. And if you're new with us, let me meet you and give you a little gift at the end today. God bless all of you.
you are dismissed.